Begotten Son, when his godly character comes into you, something happens to you. Amen. Right? And we grow in that grace. So, you know, and I'll just simply say it, you know, just simply said, I know it's cliche-ish, you know, but you can't outgive God. Okay? You can't outgive God. And so speaking of giving, just as Manya was speaking there, remind me, and I'm not going to say much at this point, but you know, we are in the process now of a fundraiser, and that fundraiser is so that we can replace our sound system. And so I just want to bring that to your attention. I'm going to be I'm preaching on the true message of prosperity at least once a month for a while. So here we're coming into July. I'll be doing that. But anyway, I just want to remind you, the food pantry, we don't say a lot about it. The buckets are out there. The food goes out. The food goes out. And I just want you to know that. And so we appreciate you being mindful of that. I've got a little list here from Connie about needs that we have in the food pantry. Coffee creamer and coffee by the pound. Canned fruit and vegetables. Cooking oil or Pam. Or cooking spray, whatever that would be there. All right, so those are some things that we need, and so you be mindful of that, okay? Let's have the children to come, right? And praise the name of the Lord. We'll pray over them. Amen. Let's all lift our hands here as we pray and ask God's blessing. Father, thank you, Lord, for everything that we commit into your hands that you take and you watch over it with such faithfulness. And Lord, right now, Lord, all these young ones, we commend them to the care of the Lord and to the working and the power of the Holy Spirit, that the divine destiny of God may unfold in their lives. Lord, thank you for, Lord God, our teachers. And Lord, we pray for a special blessing upon them here today. We pray that in the name of Jesus, that, oh Lord God, you would give them the desires of their heart. And I want to thank you for your faithfulness and just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, what a precious presence of God here. You know, this morning, glory to God. Let's go, if we would, to Hebrews chapter 9. You might want to get out pencil and paper, and, you know, I would suggest that most times anyway, but and take some notes here. I'm going to be giving a message on the second coming of Christ, the second coming of Christ. And my prayer, as we look at this, and I will not be hitting every single jot and tittle, that has to do with the second coming. This is certainly just areas that I have felt pressed upon in the Holy Spirit to bring out to us here today. And so I just want you to know that. This will also be what you call a general survey of the last day's events, a general survey of the last day's events. And not only that, but this is not just simply an informational message. My prayer right now is that the graces of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that He intends for you would be released upon you now in the name of Jesus. That after you hear this word, that you will not be the same. That the Spirit of God would be upon you in a fresh new way. And whatever that would be, that we are ready and that we're prepared for the coming of the Lord. So blessed be the holy righteous name of the Lord. You know, so I will not give a total order of last day's events. We'll see how far we get. But just things here that have to do with the second coming. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. And this is one of the most important messages that's given to us as Christians in the word of the Lord. And the reason that it's given is for a multitude of reasons. It's not just simply to have information or that we would simply be able to see what's going to go on in the future, but it has to do with our endurance and our overcoming and the way that we live our lives. It has to do that we've got our eye on eternal destiny, that we not get so tied up in living our life for today that we fail to live for the Lord. And so this is a very important message that is given to us in the word of the Lord. And that's one of the great reasons as to why. It's also to give us a sense of mission, that we understand that why we're here, that we live for the Lord, that it's so easy to get captivated by how the culture has invaded the church today, and the world has come into the church, and the church is to be separate from the way of the world. We have changed that philosophy so much today in the church that we think that the way that we win people into the kingdom of God is to become more conducive to the way of the world. And the word of God is very clear on that. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's because that we are a distinct people, that we are a holy people, and that we are a separate people in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they see the difference in us because of the way that we live. And so these are very important points. I got that ringing in there. Can we get that ringing out of there again in that sound? I appreciate if we can do that. Thank you very much. Let's go here and we'll get started in Hebrews chapter 9. I'm going to begin here in verse 26 at the end of the chapter. It says, otherwise, speaking of the Lord Jesus, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. I'm not going to say a whole lot about that, but that's a difference between the blood of Jesus and the blood of goats and bulls. And that's the difference between that God, through Jesus, brought about the remission of sin, not simply the atonement of sin. We use that word loosely a lot. That's okay. That's an old King James word. But at the same time, you understand that the word atonement had to do with the Old Testament blood of goats and bulls. And the very word itself means to cover. It means to cover. It did not do away with sin. And that's why they had to give the offering of the blood year after year after year. Jesus, once and for all, through his own blood, brought about the remission of sin and the forgiveness of sin. There's quite a difference between the two, and we need to know the difference. And that's what he's referring to right here. He goes on in that verse 26, and he says, but now once at the consummation of the ages, that's an amazing statement right there, at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested, look at this is the word right here, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And so that's a very important point that we know that sin has been dealt with, and it's been dealt with by the power of Almighty God. And that's why you and I can have victory over sin, and we can walk in victory, and we can walk in the power of God. It's a progressive work of maturing that comes in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we begin to learn the way of the Spirit. You know, when we're first born again, we don't know really we're born again. And there's a lot of churches that teach that as the sum and all total of everything. And now let's just be good. Let's just be good, and let's just do good things. And above all, let's be sure that we're good church attenders, you know, and then we'll win the world. Nothing could be absolutely further from the truth. We are to be a people of the Spirit. And when it talks about being born again by the Spirit of God, it's so that I have been delivered from that old man Adam, then I can live in the new man Jesus now. And then that is my destiny in the Lord. But there's many Christians that have no idea that what they have received in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, may we not be so. May we not be so. So Jesus has put away sin, and that you and I can live in the victorious power of God as we go on in the Lord. Here's verse 27. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. I certainly want to have that in my heart, that I'm living for the Lord. You know, and a great word in Scripture is the word endurance. The word endurance. And another words that we find in relationship with the coming of the Lord, some other catchwords would be words like watching and waiting. That's an attitude of spirit of the believer. You know, that we not, another catchword, not fall asleep, that we not fall asleep. You know, because when you fall asleep, you're not aware of your surroundings. You know, you're not aware. We're to be, another catch word is to be, and this is all to the believer. This is not to the lost world who does not know the Lord. And another catch word that we find in the word of the Lord is soberness of spirit. Soberness of spirit. It's like in comparisons of a drunk man. You know, the drunk man, you know, he just does not have aware any senses of those things that are happening around him and is going on. He's not aware of those things. And so it is also to be applied in the realm of the spirit as much as it is in the realm of the natural. You know, so we keep the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and we walk in endurance of faith, you know, because we live out through this lifetime. We live throughout this lifetime. And we want to be on fire for God in the end of our days. Matter of fact, in my heart, in reality, I believe we ought to be more on fire. When I'm on my deathbed, I plan to be more on fire for God than I was when I first came to Him. You know, and that really is the plan of the Lord. I mean, where is the fire of God in your life? Is it ho-hum, you know, old hat, been there, done that? Oh, well, I mean, I can quote all the books of the Bible. What else would I need to know? You know, I'm being a little silly. You know, but that's not spirituality at all, or the way of the Spirit. The fire of God, the glory of God, the grace of God, and the knowledge of God increases in spiritual maturity. It increases. It gets better. It gets greater. It gets mightier. And it gets more joyous in the Lord Jesus Christ as we go forward. You know, so, you know, we want to walk in those things. Here it goes on from verse 28 and says, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many. Well, look at this part. Has appeared a second time, okay, shall appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin. That word reference is implied in the text there, without reference to sin. Now, it gives a qualification, just so you want to know, that backs up the things that I just got through saying. In the latter part of verse 28, it says, to those who eagerly await Him. That's an amazing statement, isn't it? Oh, Jesus is coming again. And when He comes a second time, He's going to come with no reference to sin. He's going to come with no reference. He's talking about the believers. He's talking about those that be caught up with the Lord is what He's talking about right here at this point. And there'll be no reference to sin. Oh, Ron, you know, welcome into the kingdom. But listen, let me tell you a little bit of read off all the bad things that you did here. That's not happening. That's not happening. They'll all be under the blood. And now we'll be caught up. We'll be with the Lord. And it'll be a great celebration because glory to God. Paul talked about it. He'll talk about running the race, did he? And he said, run in such a way that you may win the prize, right? Okay. Isn't that the goal of running, right? I mean, hey, who's going to go out and run, you know? And, you know, like in the world we live today, you know, where if you ran in the race, we give everybody a ribbon, right? You know, everybody's a winner, right? But that's not really the concept of life. And that's not the reality of life at all. And we know that. And we know that we are to run in not only in life, but in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ with a goal. And what that goal is that we shall endure unto the end. And glory to God, I finished the race. That's what he's saying here. There are other things that I may speak maybe here in a quick way. And as we go forward in this, first of all, you know, let's go to another scripture. Let's go over to 2 Thessalonians. Let's go over there in chapter 2. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. And we will begin looking there in just 1 minute. But there are some signs of the times, and we can't get into everything here in one message. But just some things that were on my heart that we see that are very clear of the signs of the coming of the Lord. Number one, that I will speak will be the work of lawlessness. My goodness, have we not seen the work of lawlessness like never before? I won't mention them much, but all of the riots that we have seen going on, we see such a moral decay to where nobody's ashamed to live in sin anymore. And churches don't like to say anything. Let's just love them. Let's just love them. But we're loving them right into hell without the truth. We're loving them right into hell without the truth. Because without knowing the truth, there cannot be any repentance. You do understand that, right? You understand that without the knowledge of the truth, then what are you going to repent of? You don't need to repent, right? So this is very important for us, you know, that we understand this. Human respect. Where has human respect gone? My goodness gracious. You know, I used to teach for a particular industry. I used to teach ethical standards of behavior and integrity. You know, and you'd be amazed at young people, men, and it's not just young people, that have no idea, and I'm not even talking about the gospel right now, that they have no idea what integrity is all about. They don't understand what ethical behavior is all about. You know, if it feels good, do it. You know, and that has come to full bloom. You understand that? Like never before. And man, whatever I feel like, you know, man, I'm just going to blurt it out and say it. And you know what the worst part about all of that is? Not only now people will blurt out and say anything, absolutely anything, and use any kind of language whatsoever, but now there's no fear of any kind of repercussions or society condemnation. Because all of those things have disappeared. They've disappeared. It's an amazing time. You know, not only that, may I say these things, with the rise of Marxism, like we've never seen it before, coming up on all of the world, the embrace of socialism that we have, you know, not only that, but, you know, we have openly said, you know, you will have nothing and you will be happy. Right? You'll have nothing and you'll be happy. Now, you know, you and I, we laugh at that, but I want to tell you what. There is so much unhappiness because happiness only comes from a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the only place that you ever will find any kind of happiness. But you know, that sounds like a ridiculous statement to you and me. You'd be surprised how many people will go for it. Well, I haven't been able to find any happiness. You know, maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. We'll all live in a little cubicle. We'll all ride bicycles, or we'll take mass transportation is what we'll do, you know, and the government will provide everything for us. Maybe, oh, you know, maybe they're right. Maybe that's where real, true happiness lies. It's a lie right out of the pit of hell. A lie right out of the pit of hell, you know. I want you to know, and I want you to understand that our religious freedoms are under attack. And we need to know that. We need to know that. Another sign of the coming of the Lord are wars. And you know that, wars and rumors of war. What we just went through, as Kathy made reference to it, with Iran. And glory to God. I'm glad all of those things were destroyed as they were. I'm glad to see the things that are happening. But do I believe that the war in the Middle East is over? No, no. I do not. Do you understand the thing about war that's going on today? That it's not like the wars of World War II or World War I, and they were defending principles and things of such nature as that. The day's wars are a religious war. We are smack dab in a religious war. Make no mistake about it. And Western civilization today is under attack. It's under attack. And we, the church, where are we in the midst of this? What do we plan on doing? Sleeping through it all? You know, we have a role to play, you know, in the destiny of the world. We have a role to play here in Owensboro, Kentucky. We have a role to play in the earth. And that we can be all that God has called us to be as the people of God, as the body of Christ, as a church in itself. that we walk with the Lord. There's great victories to be won that only be won in the realm of the Spirit. And when they're won in the realm of the Spirit, they will begin to change in the realm of the natural. And we'll see a harvest that will come of souls coming into the kingdom of God. We'll see lives change. We'll see the power of God. We see the miraculous hand of Almighty God. But this all comes from the church being what the church has been called to be. This is comes to the place where we lay down our lives. We live with that sense of destiny that, hey, I'm in the kingdom of God. Hey, I'm going to live for eternity, not for today, like the world lives, only living it just a little bit better. We are. How about this guy right here? If you don't mind me saying it right here. This Zohan Mandadi. You know, he's the new electoral candidate for mayor of the Democratic Party in New York City. Well, I know somebody say, well, my goodness, that's New York City. What in the world has it got to do with me? Everything. 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 Because right now we live in the middle of an Islamic invasion. And I don't mind saying it, and I'm not ashamed to say it, that we're right in the middle of an Islamic invasion, and this is one of the great movements of that. Go take a look at Europe for a minute. Go take a look at London for a minute. Go take a look at the takeover. What will happen to Europe? And do you think we're going to live on an island here in America with all of Europe being invaded the way that they're being invaded and being taken over? They're losing their culture. Western civilization is falling down all across Europe. Do we know this? Do we understand it? Do we care? Because you're next. You're next. It's time we wake up. We're not going to win it. My trinkets and toys. We're going to win it because we're a people of the Spirit, because we choose to press into the Spirit, because we become a people of prayer, because we become a people of faith, because we give the place of the kingdom and the mission that we have, the eternal mission of the church and of our own lives, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we live out our days after that destiny in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we go on, hallelujah, to go with and be with the Lord and to receive the fullness of our rewards in Jesus. Did you know this Zohan Mandadi? And I, you know, if he can say it, then I can say it too, right? And that is that he calls for openly the infidada. Do you know that? You know, the infidada, that Arabic word, it means uprising or a shaking off. And the example, the picture of that word right there, infidada, is that it's like a dog. You ever seen a dog get out of the water? Right? And shake off all that water? That's what that word means. But do you understand what it means? That this is an Islamic destiny right here, the infidada. That Democratic candidatorial mayor for New York City has openly calls for it. And it is that either the Jews and the Christians, that they will either be enslaved. Read your history. They will be either enslaved or they will convert or they are to be killed. End of story. End of story. He also calls openly for Sharia law. What do you think's going on in Michigan right now? What do you think's trying to unfold in Texas? What are we going to do? Close our eyes and say, oh, well? And be a church with no power? Because we don't have time for it. I'm busy. We have an eternal destiny to fulfill in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we fulfill it. May we give our hearts fully to the Lord to fulfill it. Sharia law. He calls openly for Sharia law. You know that? Ladies, you ready to put on your burqa? These are very real things that are happening in the earth today. They're all signs of the coming of the Lord. They're the signs of the coming of the Lord. You cannot continue to go on and just live your pretty little life. You cannot continue to go on and live for me, but only do it good in Jesus and be good. No, we need to be kingdom people. We need to be people of the Spirit. We need to be about the Father's business. We need to come together in that destiny and not only live it individually. And then we find that we'll find the power of God flowing among us in ways that we've never dreamed. And we'll see the Spirit of God, because He will be our strength to a people who say they have no strength. Do you know that's the key to spirituality and the walk of the Spirit, is that you become nothing and He becomes more. You know, you become weaker. It's an unraveling feeling. I won't tell you. You know what I mean. It's an unraveling feeling. But you don't get more strong in the Lord. You get weaker. And He in you becomes stronger. This is the way of the Spirit. It takes a brave heart to walk after that way. I'll just speak a few other things in relationship and didn't go in here. And that is, and then of course the other thing is that we talk about not only wars, rumors of wars and lawlessness, but pestilence and disease. I heard the other day, did you know they're talking about global famine? Right? Global famine as being a real serious possible thing that's going on today. And all we need is one of those little funguses introduced to our American farms, brought over here from China, and then we see crop failures go across the land. And then let's just see what happens about global famine. This is the hour we live. Now look at this, if you would. We come in here in the 2 Corinthians, and I'm not Corinthians, but Thessalonians, and I'm going to read here. And this is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to begin with verse 1. It says, "Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him." Now, let me just stop there for a minute, and so that I can say this, so we can get kind of things in our mind. And that let me say it this way, and I may not say it right. If you can give me a little grace there, I appreciate that. And that is that the second coming has two parts to it. It has two parts to it. Depends on how that you look at it. The first part to the second coming will be the rapture, right? And the word of the Lord, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that when He comes, that we'll be translated into His presence in the twinkling of an eye. That is an amazing thing. There won't be any time to say, "Oh, wait a minute, I got to get this right," you know. Whatever it is, live fully for Jesus now, today. And then you will be ready. The Word of God says that He'll come when you do not expect Him. The Word of God says that He will also come like a thief in the night. It also says in the Word of God that God the Father is the only one that knows the day and knows the hour. Not even the Son, according to the Scriptures. Can you possibly imagine? You know, and then all of a sudden, God the Father says, "This is the day." See, that's why the Scripture, it places such emphasis on endurance of faith before the Lord. Endurance. You know, that's pressing on in the midst of the storm and all that comes on around us. Now, the second part, or if you want to call this really you may not call the rapture the second coming, and then the second part is when then comes, after the rapture, then comes the marriage supper of the Lamb. All right? And then at the marriage supper of the Lamb, oh, glory to God, you know, the dead in Christ shall rise. We who remain shall be gathered with the Lord in the air, and we shall ever be with the Lord our God. And we will receive rewards. We will receive rewards. You do not earn salvation, but you will receive rewards. The Scripture is very clear as to how you've lived your life. There will be ranking and positions. And why do we say that? Because we become a part of the army of God. Okay? You know, what kind of army do you have without ranking and positions? There will be rankings and there will be positions of the saints of God that will be a part of the armies of Almighty God. And then, at that particular point, we know that Jesus will come. He will come. Now, in the midst of all of that, before that time, and that's what we call the second part, you might say, I might be saying not saying it right, of the second coming of Jesus. The rapture, and then Jesus comes back to rule and reign on the earth. That he will come to establish the 1,000-year reign. You know, so that's why scriptures have seemed confusing to us about the second coming. Are you with me there? It's like, are we going to him or is he coming down? You know, is that the second coming or is that the third coming? You know, which is it here? But it's all part of that process of that which is to come in the Lord. Let me read here. This is the second verse, that you may not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter or as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you. Now look at this part. For it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. That is the falling away from the faith. You know, and then it says, and the lawless man and is revealed, the son of destruction. That, of course, is the Antichrist. All right, now, let's go on from there. You know, then it says in verse 4, I'm not going to say much about that right now. That's a whole subject in itself, but you've heard me read it. Verse 4 says, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? So this has been a major subject of preparation for the coming of the Lord and our being gathered together with him. Here's verse 6, and you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he may be revealed. Well, there's speculation over that, and a lot of people will say that what restrains him is the church. What restrains him is the church. And then when the church is taken out of the way, there'll be no restraints anymore. There'll be no restraints anymore. You know, when will the rapture take place? I don't know. I don't know. Anybody tells you that they know without certainty, they don't really. Okay. You know, I know what denominations teach. I'll get it out in a minute. All right. You know, pre-trib. Right? So, okay, wonderful. That's great. I hope so. But you know, when the Antichrist rises to power, because he's become such a beloved character that, you know, like no one we've ever seen before, and the talents and the personality and the power of the Antichrist, which are of a supernatural nature, I want to tell you that. It's of a supernatural nature, not of a natural nature at all. You know, that then after 3.5 years, he becomes very deadly. He becomes very deadly. What changes in 3.5 years? Is that the rapture at that time, mid-trib? I don't know. You know, whether right or whether wrong, the best thing is to be ready. Best thing is to be ready, okay? All right, now, let's go on from there, and let's just see some things right here that are in that verse. Verse 7 says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Man, I mean, this is the day of restraint. You know, this is the day to live for Jesus with your whole heart. It's not going to come later. Oh, I'll make it right later. You know, I'm going to live in a coasting manner. You know, I'm going to kind of enjoy myself. You know, there's a deception in that. We'll say, you know, I've entered into retirement. I'm just not going to push it the way I used to. You know what I mean? You know, like, and this is one of the greatest works of deception. And it doesn't matter if it's retirement or anything else. I deserve it. And that usually has to do with us coasting in some way or indulging in some way more or neglecting in some way. That's the way that that's usually translated in life. I deserve it, you know. Well, you be careful with that. You be very careful. Then verse 8 says, and then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end. Look here. by the appearance of his coming. This is that the second part of that, which was the first part is the rapture. The second part would be called the revelation. And the revelation is when Jesus comes to physically rule on the earth and set up his kingdom. That's an amazing thing. Look on with that. Here's verse 9. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those, look here, for those who perish because, look at this, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. That's why you will find with great destruction and great judgment the angel of the Lord crying out saying, they deserved it. I'm sorry, that may not fit in today's culture, but I'm sorry, that is a true factor in life. And it is also that there's consequences to your actions. There's consequences to your actions. They may teach you different in school, but it makes no difference. That is the real truth of the way life is and of judgment. And of judgment. Now, I'm going to stop there for just a minute. And I want to go on to another place real quick, and that is in Revelation chapter 11. I'm going to close here real shortly. If you just give me just a little bit more of your time, I sure do appreciate that. Everybody say amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. So we see these things. You know, at the time when the church is raptured out, we know that there will be the great tribulation. It speaks of tribulation up to that point in time will be taking place. But the great tribulation is a period of 7 years. And it certainly will be an absolutely awful time. I want to just say a couple of words about this Antichrist. We will study him more as time goes by. But I just kind of wanted to just show you a little bit of this. And this is in Revelation chapter 11. And are you looking at your scripture? Because it's important that you see it in your Bible, okay? You know, that's important at this point. I'm going to read this one verse that has to do with the very character and the nature of the Antichrist. Revelation 11, and we're looking right here at verse 7. And when they had finished their testimony, that's the two witnesses. When they finished their testimony, the beast, that's the Antichrist, that comes up, look here, that comes up, look here, out of the abyss. Do you see that? Will make war with them and overcome them and kill them. You understand, we do this all the time. We say, oh, well, I wonder if he's the Antichrist or if that one's the Antichrist. Do you see what the Word of God says? No. This is a supernatural character. This is a supernatural character. He is a man that has lived before. He is a man that has lived before, and he comes out of the abyss to live again. His origin of being the Antichrist is from the abyss. Does your Bible say that? Does your Bible say that? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Now, just so that we can all be on the same page, let me just read this scripture to you. First of all, the word abyss, abyssos, A-B-U-S-S-O-S, and it means bottomless or deep or depth, so that you understand it truly is hell. I'll read this scripture. Here's Luke 8:31, and they were entreating him. This is Legion. Remember Legion? Remember the legion to come out of the man? And then he went into the swine? This is legion. Here it is. This is now that verse. And they were entreating him not to command them to depart into the abyss. I don't know. I don't know much. But it appears that hell has also a place of deeper hell. Okay? In the depths of hell. Matter of fact, there were angels that were cast out of heaven with the evil one. And they were cast down, and many of them, demons, are here on the earth. But there were some of them that were locked up in the abyss because of how wicked and how evil and how mighty and powerful in darkness that they were. Now, I may make more questions than answers. I'm sorry if I'm doing that. You know, but so that you know that the Antichrist comes out of the abyss, you read it. It's in your Bible. It's even in the NIV, isn't it? Yes, it is. Okay? That means he has to be a man that's lived before. Has to be. That's an amazing thing. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I'm right or wrong. But there's a lot of people that believe that that's King Saul. There's two people in Scripture that come out of the abyss. Only two. Only two. And you know, what blesses me the most is that Jesus is in charge. Because those demons, they were crying out, oh, don't send us to the abyss. Don't send us to the abyss. So you know what blesses me about it all is that when the Antichrist comes and all of these comes, the devil's not in control. Jesus is in control. All right, in Revelation 13, it also insinuates that the false prophet comes out of the abyss too. All right, now go to Revelation chapter 17. You know, now in Daniel... And I will do this in another message about this point about the Antichrist. I will do that in another message. But just to give you a few pointers to it, is that if you look in Daniel, you'll find very clearly that the Antichrist comes from a royal descent. He comes from a royal descent. There are no people, no two people on this earth that are like, number one, King Saul. The false prophet, he comes out of the abyss. Is he Judas? He will have a religious tie. He will have a prophetic work that he has been tied to. And there's no two men that have been called and elevated to a higher degree than those two men have been in the Lord. There's no two men alike like them that both committed suicide. And not only did they commit suicide, but they both turned their back on all of the glorious calling that God had given to them. And they did it wickedly, and they did it in an evil manner and nature. I may be wrong. But there's a lot of strong evidence here. There's a lot of strong evidence here. Look at this, just so you'll see. This is in Revelation. I'm closing in a minute. Revelation 17, and this is in verse 8. Look at verse 8. This is the Antichrist again. The beast that you saw was and is not. I mean, he thinks he's going to rule and reign, but he's going to be destroyed. And is about to come out. Look, here it is again. Come up out of the abyss and to go to destruction. It will do him no good, even though he will rise into life again. That it says this in that same verse, and those who dwell on the earth will wonder. Who are these people that will wonder? Those whose name has those who dwell on the earth will wonder, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. We thought he was the one. We thought he was the one. We thought that he was the Savior. We bowed down. We worshiped him. We received his mark because we thought he was the one. And they will be in shock. Then it says, when they see the beast that he was and is not and will to come. That's twice now that you've seen that the Antichrist comes out of the abyss. That's twice. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. That's why he is of such a supernatural nature. He'll have supernatural powers. He's not a regular man. He's not a regular man. He'll have a demonic mesmerizing effect that will hypnotize the absolute masses of all of mankind. And they will be available to be hypnotized by his nature because they rejected their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to close with just a couple more things here. We will study him more so. If you say, hey, Pastor, you're wrong. Okay, I'm wrong. But somebody's coming out of the abyss. Somebody's coming out of the abyss. I don't know. But that is an amazing thought. This is the last of it, you know, and thank you so much for your patience with me. And then I want you to go just simply, if you would. Now, here, I want to touch on this, Revelation 19, and this is that part of when Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom on the earth, and then at that particular time, when that comes, after the marriage supper of the Lamb, after the Antichrist has run his course, and the Lord Jesus is in total, absolute control of everything that is taking place, then this is what's called the revelation, with the part of the second coming of Jesus. Are you with me here? Here we are. This is in verse 11 of Revelation 19, 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems. And he has a name written upon him, which is no one knows except himself. Verse 13, and he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Here's verse 14, and the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may smite the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he will tread the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. Isn't that just an absolutely an amazing thing? You know, and that's what we will see that will happen at that particular point in time. Can I just show you one more little tidbit? Go real quick over to Revelation 11. Revelation 11. I want you to see the reaction of the nations. I want you to see the reaction of the nations. Astonishing. Absolutely astonishing. You're in Revelation 11, and I want you, and you understand that this is part of the millennial reign. Here's verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there arose a loud voice in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat on their thrones before God fell on their faces, and they worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God. Now look at what sin said. The Almighty who art and who was, because thou hast taken thy great power and hast begun to reign. Now look, look, look. Isn't this astonishing? Look at verse 18, the first part of it. And the nations were enraged. Goodness gracious. They didn't like it. Wow. They were enraged. Because the rebellion of man will have run its course. The rebellion of man will have run its course. Kathy, would you all come on?